For our scripture reading, we want to look at two passages of the scripture. We'll probably speak to the totality of scripture in some aspects. But our first scripture is from the book of Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. So if you don't know where Proverbs is at, it's after Psalms. You open your Bible to the middle. That'll get you to Psalms. And then you go one book to the right, and then that'll take you to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9. Now, if you have trouble finding it, it'll be up here on the screen. And you can watch there, and you can look up the scripture later. But Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. And it reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Lord, help us to hear your word today, and may you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You might find that phrase in different parts of scriptures, the fear of the Lord. Now, if you go online and try to get answers from there, you might find some, and they'll explain to you that this fear here is the awe of God, and there's no reason to fear God. I would say to you that we need to fear God. Now, this God is a loving God, but God is also a God of justice. But here, the fear of God, some would say that it's really the awe of God. But that word awe seems to just miss the mark a little bit, because if I see a little baby playing or walking around, some people go, "Aw." I don't think it's that kind of awe. And if you're in awe of God, you know, you may be in awe of someone that's a great basketball player or a great piano player or a great musician or vocalist or student, or you're kind of in awe of their capabilities in that particular area. But this awe of God, it would seem, if we look at the totality of Scripture, this having an awe of God, we recognize the all-powerful God, the creator of the earth. And we start to get a sense of the power of God, the awesomeness of God, the capabilities of God. It should give us a reverence kind of awe. It should give us we think of the scriptures and the songs, "We are standing on holy ground," and Moses took his shoes off because he's on holy ground because of God. It's that kind of, just step back. It's like, wow. Wow. When we think about the all of God, and it says in 1 John, "And the Word was God, and the Word was with God." And it talks about Jesus coming, and all things were created by him and through him. Jesus was at creation. The Son of God was at creation. But yet we still have Emmanuel, God with us. He limited himself, but still he's God. And so the fear of God is the beginning of fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If we get that out of place and we lose the fear of God, how does that affect things? If you lose the awesomeness of a higher power, I was listening to a book this week. I don't have the exact quotes, but it was even quoting back to Plato. And not that I read Plato. But it was talking about the concept of a pure democracy. I know we talk a lot about democracy and what democracy is, and some people don't realize that really the United States is not a pure democracy. A pure democracy does things like, because we are based on a constitution, right? There's some controls. Because a pure democracy is kind of like the Wild West. Remember, we talk about the Wild West and what kind of things happened in the Wild West. Well, they did whatever the majority of them wanted to do, and whoever had the most power got to do it. So kind of like kings. And then if a group of people thought somebody had done something wrong in the heat of the moment, they didn't even bother with a trial to find out that person's view of things. They just what? Hung them. It's a mob rule. That's pure democracy. Mob rule is pure democracy. I've told the story often. Some of my children had some cousins over, and these young kids decided that it was a good idea to throw rocks and dent my steel door on my garage door. They were just little. That was pure democracy. And so when this country was founded, they had this concept of a constitution, but it's based on the Bible, this all of God. And they based that forming of that democracy based off of Israel before they had a king. But they were under the rule of the law of God. But see, if I remove God from the conversation, then I'm left to the whims of natural man. Remember last week we talked about natural man when we're born and we're in sin and we are selfish and we want what we want, and when a baby wants a toy, they just take it and say, mine. They look out for themselves. They put their hand in the cake, have it all over their face. You ask them if they did it, and they say no. But see, when Israel stopped allowing themselves to be ruled by God and started following false prophets and false gods, their society fell apart. King Saul didn't like that the priest helped David, so he killed him, had him killed. Stopped having the awe for God. And so we become self-governed, as it were, but without any controls on us. We lose the fear of God. We talked about last week about carnal Christians, where they're still babes in Christ, and there were strifes in the church, and there were battlings in the church. And so when you're battling each other, you're fighting more each other than you're moving forward the cause of Christ, right? But it's hard to have that wisdom without the fear of God, because we start moving into the realm that to right and wrong becomes a group thought, and we in our selfishness inside of ourselves, we decide right and wrong as ourselves. And then even science is open to a vote. We see that too, right? That there's not such a thing as boys and girls. It's a mix. They just kind of rewrite the science based on the voting. And even we talk about Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, they basically, it's an evolutionary kind of law based on the last precedent, the last thing said. So it's live and it changes. There's no absolutes. But these are the things that happen when we make for ourselves dependent on us being God. And we stop being in awe of God, that God's out there, and we, the powerful, become the kings. And the kings don't need a law. They just do what they want. You see that. Some of you know about that. There's countries in the world where they used to be a thriving democracy. Now they got dictators. They kill who they don't like. Gangs spring up. And it goes through the powerful. And so God, in the all of God, gives us these boundaries, these expectations. Because if we look at the Ten Commandments even, it's how to conduct ourselves and how to interact with each other. You know, it says to love our neighbor as ourselves is the second of the commandments. But the first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And different parts of the scripture will maybe add a couple words in there. But we're to love the Lord our God with all. But see, if we love the Lord our God with all and we're in all of Him, love Him with all, A-L-L, and we're in all, A-W-E, Him, that gives us the boundaries of our conduct. Of our neighbor as ourselves. We have to love God first, because if it gets out of whack, then we can get things out of balance. You get to a mode where everything is tolerated, and we don't understand what justice is anymore, because justice becomes a vote of the how do I feel today? Because there's nothing outside of me. And we start then having groupthink. You know, some of you in IT or in systems, and a lot of people are aware of IT, at least at some level, you'll hear the term crowdsourcing. Crowdsourcing. That means that it's programmed by whoever's in the crowd. We're trying to crowdsource, it would seem, morality. That we, in our sinfulness, in our sinful nature, so will somehow be able to program what right and wrong is. We've lost what virtue is, coming from God and nature's God. And so we try to write it on our own. And writing it on our own, we look out for our own. We start looking at things and say, hey, I like what that person has. I like what that person has. So shouldn't we share so I can have more of what they have? And those people that's worked real hard for their money and they've got more money than them and they're rich, they need to give me some. Shouldn't they be sharing? Shouldn't they share what they have with me? I didn't do anything to get it, but I want them to share that with me, so I'm going to take it from them. And the people that say I'm going to take it from them to make it more equal, they elevate themselves, and they, if there's any question, they might get the greater share. They're not concerned about rewarding people for their good hard work. They just want to make sure they get their share. And so the sense of fairness becomes the sense of the crowdsourced fairness, to the point that we start saying, well, let me apply and determine what the Bible says based on what society thinks it should say. And so we take parts out and we don't translate it all, or we might have some creative translations that soften some of the hard words that we don't like. And we say, what will Jesus do? And we put our form of who Jesus is through the crowdsourced group. And by the way, that's what AI is. It's crowdsourced intelligence. It reads what it reads and tries to learn from there. And so what if they do is they control what it reads and balances things out, and people crowdsource. Crowdsourcing truth and crowdsourcing morality. There's nothing above. But somehow us in our sinfulness are going to determine what holiness is. And we're like, well, Jesus was this and Jesus was that. Let's turn to Matthew 21, 12 and 13. Oh, what would Jesus do would be the point. And when people do things, you know, Jesus was just meek and mild, and they don't maybe understand what the word meek means, but what would Jesus do? You should just love. Yes, there's love, but there's requirements. And in Matthew 21, 12, Jesus said, the scripture says, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. In other parts of Scripture, in John, you would find that Jesus drove them out of the temple. He made a whip of cords. This is not Jesus going up, oh, won't you please? You shouldn't be doing that. Why don't you quit? Do you not understand that this is not the right way to do things? Jesus made a whip of cords, drove them out. If they didn't fear him, they wouldn't have left. He turned over their tables. Seems like he yelled at them and said, get out of here. We should not forget that Jesus is God. There's a song, it might not be scriptural exactly, but kind of. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have said, I'm not going to die on this cross for these people. I'm done. Do we not remember when he said, I'm done? And he said, the flood? Do we not remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone? When we lose the fear of God, we elevate ourselves that we are God. We're right back in the garden. We're guided by our self-ambitions and our jealousies and envyings and there's some that will try to draw even those in churches, right? They don't preach necessarily the Word of God. They don't Do we not remember what Jesus said about hell? Jesus preached on hell. Gnashing of teeth, torment. If there's not something that we should fear, and we've said this before, why did Jesus have to come and die? He came and died so we can have forgiveness of our sins. But he said you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to change. Yes, he forgave the woman that was caught in adultery, but he told her, even he says, go and sin no more. You just can't keep sinning. The fear of God. We've lost the fear of God. We try to put him in our form, and Jesus in our form. Someday he's coming again to judge. Some to the right and some to the left, right? The scripture says. And to those that don't have the shed blood applied or aren't living within the ark of safety, some would say, that's the phrase. It says, depart from me, I never knew you. People must be motivated to do those right things. There's this loss of fear. There's a loss of respect. We don't need the rules because everybody in their own is whole. Some would think that we can go about and just talk to people and explain to them what they're doing wrong. They don't have any concept. Our country is built on a Judeo-Christian foundation. Some might not understand that. It's not innate. It's not something that we're born with. We're born in sin. But we keep trying to normalize. And we try to put peace where there's no peace. They want to say Islam is a peaceful religion, and it's not. Don't they want to ascribe to Muhammad and what Muhammad do? He went out and killed people. He didn't like them, he killed them. He came and he took over a country. Either convert or die. That's how Tom Hermes, our general superintendent, our evangelist, that's how his grandparents were killed. The Muslims came in where his family was at, near in the Assyria area, and said, convert or die. They wouldn't convert. They were Christians, so they died. His grandmother was shot for being a Christian by Muslims. But they aspired to be like Muhammad. He's a murderer. So people want to say, oh, that's peaceful. Oh, that's this. Oh, that's that. Oh, it's not that big deal. We've lost our fear of the Lord and what is who he is. But when we have that fear, it motivates us. This is God. He's above us. He knows more than us. Yes, I should be in all of him and his knowledge, and he has given us rules and the conduct that we should have. And I should not be crowdsourcing my virtue. And if I'm crowdsourcing my virtue and what's right, then when I want approval of what is right, I do things, and they call it virtue signaling, that make us look like to the crowd that I am good. But it's not the crowd that's everlasting, eternal, that's going to judge me and decide whether I go to heaven or hell. God. G. Jesus loves us. He died for us. And He can extend mercy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, He said on the cross. He can extend mercy. It's His to extend. But be careful not to extend mercy where He does not. He said, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. I think one point even called them snakes. That was to the religious. Are you in fear of God? We need a healthy fear. We need to understand Him. But if we're outside and we haven't repented, we haven't changed, we haven't asked for forgiveness, you better be in fear. But if you've had forgiveness of your sins, He did not give us a spirit of fear. When it says He did not give us a spirit of fear, He's talking to Christians, because we're part of His family. But if you don't have the blood applied, and it says, oh, we're all God's children, no, God created us. We're not God's children if we don't have the blood applied. And if you're not part of God's family, you better fear Him. If you're part of God's family, you need to be all of Him and be following Him, and you don't have to fear death. Because heaven's your home. But if you have Jesus in your life, you better fear. We have a challenge before us. As we live in a country that's falling into this cycle of self-government without fear of the Lord. Going to become more and more like the Wild West. And the more powerful without God will run on their whims. But we need to stay true. We need to trust God and not live in fear of them. Because God is greater. He is higher. He has the true wisdom. He has the true knowledge. He can teach us. He can be with us. He can guide us, love us, protect us. But we need to trust in God. So the admonition, and if you're outside the ark of safety, get right with God. Let's stand together. Father God, we thank You for this, Your Word. Father, we read just a couple scriptures, but they're repeated in multiple ways throughout Your Word. It's in the totality of the Word we learn of You and about You. We desire Your wisdom and Your knowledge. We're in all of You. We're in all of Your power. We're in all of Your love and Your justice. Help us not to pervert and try to fit you into our box of what we want You to be or what we think is the easy thing to be. Help us to be willing to take the narrow way, the narrow path, that You teach us. And not be worried about what others in the crowd think. Not try to prove to everybody on Facebook or social media, hey, look at me. I can criticize other people that aren't right with Jesus. Or I don't think it's right with Jesus. We virtue signal our own Christianity. Help us to measure ourselves by what we're doing for You and a relationship with You, and let You guide us in how we share the love. But Lord, help us in a time of evil, demonic presence, through drugs and things going about and power-hungry people, that we don't lose our way, but that we stay true to you. We thank you, Father, for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.